Hi, I'm Alex Howard, and welcome to this week's episode of In Therapy, where we follow real-life people on their therapeutic journeys. And in this week's episode, we're going to be revisiting the inner critic, that voice inside of our mind, which is always questioning us and criticizing us and sort of judging our value as a human being. And how, as we get more responsibilities in our life, often it can be a real block, a real obstacle to just having joy, to just being present, to being alive and being able to be able to have real sense of connection in this actual moment. If you haven't already, please like, subscribe, click the bell icon to be notified as new episodes are released, and do follow my Instagram at Alex Howard Therapy for daily inspiration and support. This week, we catch up with 23-year-old Sanaya, who came to therapy to help with her anxiety. Having seen significant progress in our last session, Sanaya learned an important lesson, that when we work on our healing works for us. With a slightly longer break between sessions, I'm keen to see whether she's been able to keep up the good work.
So Sanaya, it's very nice to see you.
Thank you. Nice to see you too.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm good. I think on the whole, I am actually pretty good. Yeah, I'm not just okay. I've just been quite busy. In terms of anxiety, I've not felt anxious really, like very anxious at all since we last spoke, which is pretty good. And like the only anxiety that I have really felt is when I've got something coming up, like an interview or something like that. So that was kind of like a natural anxiety, which I'm kind of used to, and I know why it's there and how to deal with it. So it's been quite good. And then in terms of the exercises that I was doing before and meditation, I have like a whole week where I'm like amazing at it, and then I have a week where I like don't even think about it at all. And it's just kind of been like that up and down since. But yeah, I would say on the whole, I've been pretty good.
That's great. I'm really pleased to hear that. Yeah. You're saying it's a bit more event driven, like something that's coming up. Talk to me about any examples of that.
So I think I would say I've only really felt anxious when I did have an interview coming up. If like in the summer, it was like social events as well. But actually at the moment, last weekend I didn't really go out just because I've been so tired.
Yeah.
I think social things with my friends and stuff, I've felt a lot less anxious.
Because one of the things we talked about kind of 2 or 3 months ago was going out in the evenings, and it's partly your anticipatory anxiety, but also managing your mom's anxiety about you being out. Is that been easier?
Yes, it has been. I think my mum's just kind of accepted that, I as long as I let her know where I am and like where I'm going and stuff, and like I'm in an Uber now and stuff like that, she's kind of been a lot more calmer about it, I guess. It's not really been that much of an issue, but obviously the past few weeks I've been working, and so I haven't been going out as much as I would have before. Sometimes the day after I get a little bit anxious when I've gone out. I don't know why, but I think it's just...
What's the content of the anxiety? Like, what are the thoughts?
I'm not sure. It's just more so just this, I wake up in the morning and feel a little bit anxious. And I think it's just because I'm just so sleep deprived because I've like gotten in later than normal.
And later than normal is what sort of time?
It could be like 3 or something.
Oh, to be young.
So
that means you're waking up at what sort of time?
So I usually wake up around... After that, I'd usually wake up like 10 in the morning. So,
yeah, okay.
And like I do sleep a lot, like I need my sleep.
Yeah, but you're sort of thrown off your normal sleep rhythm.
Yeah. It's like on weekends, I'll usually go out on a Friday or a Saturday, and it will be that kind of period of time where I'm just so tired and have little naps during the day.
Yeah.
But on the weekends, I've been like, my mum's wanted to do something, like we put up our Christmas tree the other day, and I was just so tired. And I think because of that, and then also knowing I'll have work like on Monday or tomorrow even, yeah, it's just this feeling of like, it's unease. But it has been manageable. Yeah. And I'm kind of like, I know why it's them. You went out last night, you had a good time, and you just need some rest, like get an early night tonight.
Yeah, one of the things that happens is the more physically tired we become, our body then tends to pump adrenaline and cortisol and sort of stress hormones to fill the gaps. If our energy should normally be here and it's there, we pump those stress hormones to try and raise our energy to meet that normal point, which then means you feel more anxious because you, it's like your body's using stress hormones to lift you physically, but then you have the kind of anxiety and the worry that goes with that.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's that uncommon that if you have a late night, one has a late night and doesn't have as much sleep or much rest as they normally get, to feel a bit kind of out of balance the next day.
Yeah.
You know, the resolution is building your overall resilience and strength, trying to avoid too many like crazy late nights and just managing it the best you can when it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also kind of, I mean, it's kind of nice knowing that it makes me feel like I can manage it a bit more. That, oh, if there was a day where I don't really know why I'm anxious, blah, 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 I feel like if I completely cut anxiety out of my life, when it does come, I'd be like, oh my God, I don't know how to handle this. Whereas when I have those moments on the weekend, I know exactly why this is happening. And I feel like when it does come like on a random day, which I'm sure it will at some point in my life, I feel like I'll know a little bit. It'll be, you know, I'll know how to deal with it a little bit easier.
Yeah, and I'm not sure never having anxiety is even the objective. Because anxiety can also be helpful. Like anxiety can be the sign that there's something coming up that I don't feel prepared for and I feel anxious about it. And actually it's a sign that I need to prepare. Like in the interview example, if there was no anxiety, you might just turn up to the interview without really thinking about it and prepping because there's no reason, you haven't really thought about it. It's the anxiety that gets you to do the kind of research in advance and to maybe think about possible questions they might ask and what you would say. Like there's a healthy place to have anxiety. It's just what you do with it. And does it feel like a message from your system to prepare? Or does it feel like this kind of overwhelming, dominating force that you need to escape and get away from?
I think sometimes with my confidence, I mean, sometimes I have like really good days and I don't really think about anything. And then sometimes I have like a few bad days where I wouldn't say it's necessarily a body image thing, but that's what kind of kickstarts it. And then I'll look in the mirror, I'll be like, oh gosh. And then after that, it will just kind of, my day will go badly because like these jeans don't fit me anymore or something like that. And it's like, yeah, I'll like be a little bit, not anxious, I wouldn't say anxious, but just uncomfortable with what I'm doing, like less confident speaking to people, not really want to do whatever, like go out or something like that.
It sounds like there's some sort of inner critic piece that comes in.
Yeah. Right?
Like, yeah, what are some of those things that you would find yourself saying to yourself?
If it is about my body, just that I put on weight, that's usually what it is about my body. And then after that, it would kind of like start a whole, you need to speak more when you're with that person or be more funny or something like that.
So is there, it sounds like there's a comparing yourself to an ideal that you feel you should be. And that person has this figure, that person always says the right thing in these situations. Like, who is that idealized Sanaya? Like, if I was sat here right now with that kind of perfect version of yourself that you're measuring yourself against, who would I be talking to?
I think I do compare myself a lot to myself when I was in sixth form. And I think because, and I wasn't great. I wasn't really like, I think I just was just a lot more fun. And I think I like just genuinely didn't have a care in the world, which wasn't the best thing at all.
Had you experienced any anxiety at that point, or it came soon after that from what I remember?
Yeah, I didn't really. It was just feeling nervous more than anxiety. Okay. And then, yeah, so the anxiety came during uni, I think.
So it was a sort of innocence in some ways as well, right?
Yeah, completely. And obviously, I think everyone has a stage where they're like growing up and they just kind of, yeah, don't really care about anything, or I don't know, something like that. And that's definitely what I went through. And it's not that I want to be like that,
yeah,
as such.
But there's something about the lightness and the playfulness of that you that you miss.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And
because that you is still there, right?
Yeah.
But it's not as easily available somehow.
Yeah.
What is in the way of you being able to feel more that way? Like, is it your inner critic? Like saying people will think this or that or won't think? Like what's the obstacle to you being able to be a bit more kind of, yeah, playful and spontaneous?
I think I have just changed a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I've just gotten older, and things matter to me more than other things. So when I was younger, I didn't really think about a career or anything like that. That wasn't the first thing on my mind at all. But now, obviously, that's what is probably most important to me.
Yeah. But is it possible to have more responsibility, get a bit older, and still be playful and like still have that sort of, yeah, like lighthearted, playful attitude to life?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think then in terms of that, then it is the inner critic where that's probably perhaps stopping me. And yeah, when I think about, oh, you would have done that, you would have gone to that or done that if you were in sixth form with that person. But now I just need to like accept that I might not want to do that anymore, and I shouldn't beat myself up about it if I don't. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the playfulness, yes, there are going to be situations where it's not appropriate, or there's going to be places where something else is more helpful. But I think it's also very easy to get in a pattern of having gone through a difficult chapter of life where there was a lot of anxiety and kind of confidence issues and that sort of thing. And you have much more space and freedom from that. But then it's sort of like, well, that playfulness was me before that, and that's not me at this point.
Yeah.
But I feel like you can have the best of both worlds. I feel like you can have the maturity and the wisdom that's come from some of the more heavy and difficult things that you have been through.
Yeah.
But also to have that kind of playful and lighthearted attitude to life as well.
Yeah. And I also think that in sixth form, I wouldn't say that I wasn't going through anything, because like a lot of my family had like a lot of issues at that point that I felt I had to deal with more than anyone else in my family. Right. So, and the fact that I just had this carefree, oh, I didn't care, and I would like tell my friends, like some of my close friends, about it, and they'd be going through their stuff. And like recently, me and my close friend had a conversation about it, and we were like, oh my god, like we were so young, and we were talking about how we had this kind of, oh, we don't care, like we'll like get through it, we're so much older in our heads. And then looking back on it now, that we realize that there's like all those issues that we dealt with then, we're kind of only really dealing with them now, if that makes sense. Yeah,
it does make sense. And in a sense, sometimes we need that time to get a bit more clarity and a bit more maturity and a bit more perspective on those things.
Yeah. I think, especially having like COVID and lockdown, it was kind of like everything just kind of stopped, but minds just kind of didn't.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like thinking back to everything. It was just like quite overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I think that also triggered like a lot of my anxiety, I think.
Coming back to the inner critic, what does your inner critic have to say about fun? Like you being just, and it, you know, the fun that one has in their, remind me how old you are,
23 in January.
Happy birthday for January.
Thanks.
The kind of fun that one has at 22, 23 is different to the kind of fun one has at 17, 18.
Yeah.
And the fun you have at 17, 18 is different to what you have at 11 and 12. And the fun you have in your 30s is different to what you have in your 20s. Like, there's an evolution of that. But that core principle of having a playful, lighthearted, fun attitude to your life is valuable. So that, what's the inner critic got to say about it? Like, if you're, you know, wanting to be a bit lighter and a bit more playful about something in your life, what gets in the way of that?
I think a lot of the time, especially when I wasn't working, it was, oh, if I was to go out, I kind of felt like, oh, I can't spend any money, or like, I shouldn't really go out or something like that because I don't really deserve it because I'm not working for it. Now that I'm working for it, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But it's still just like this kind of, oh, I shouldn't be doing this because my friends got these jobs and they're kind of all set and I'm not yet. So I shouldn't be doing
what
this.
What sort of jobs are they that they've got?
They've got, well, I mean, it's different for a few of them, a lot of my close friends have got the jobs that they kind of want.
But are they more traditional career choices that are a bit more predictable?
I would say half of them are, and then the other half, they are sort of in the similar things that I would want to go into.
Yes, because the pathway you're going down, like a creative path, is harder to get the right jobs.
Yeah, and I think some of them as well have got it because their parents or something like that.
So someone kind of greased the door a little bit for them.
Yeah. So that's kind of, so it's kind of like, I understand why. And like, I'm like, I shouldn't be so hard on myself. But it's still a little bit, when you feel a little bit behind, it's still a bit, oh, I need to keep up.
And there's a truth that you need to keep challenging yourself and pushing yourself to progress.
Yeah.
And it sounds like your inner critic's got quite a lot to say about it.
Yeah.
So if you're comparing yourself to a friend that, let's say, is in a kind of steady job on the path they want to be on, and then in that moment you're recognizing you don't yet have that lined up.
Yeah.
What would your inner critic say?
Just that I probably shouldn't go out. I should probably, even if it doesn't even mean I'll stay at home and work, it just means that I don't deserve to go out and go and like see your friends or like.
So until you've got that job lined up, you have to self-flagellate a certain amount.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, I think.
When you say that out loud, what do you think about it?
I know that it's silly.
But it's not about judging you for it.
Yeah.
It's more about just is that fair? Is that helpful?
Well, it's not really, no. it's not. It's just, it's something that I kind of don't really listen to as much. I think during the summer I definitely did, whereas now I kind of don't really give in to it. I'm kind of like, if I want to go out, I'll go and do it.
And it sounds like that's part of what's different since the summer as well.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to go, I'm not going to go out because I can't, you know, I haven't earned any money for a few weeks. I need to save the savings that I've got. It's another thing to go, I'm not going to go out because I don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that feels like a self-punishment in a sense.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's happening less, but it sounds like it is still happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think I still have that feeling like majority of the time, but a lot of the time I do just go out anyway.
Yeah.
Because I know how I would be feeling if I didn't, which is just mopey and whatnot, which is kind of a little bit what I got this past weekend. But actually, it was just kind of like I had this kind of fear of missing out. But I was also met with the fact that I was just so tired.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, yeah, it was a bit like that. But
Have you tried using the stop process on those thoughts? Like, you don't deserve it, you know, until you've got the job sorted, you shouldn't be having fun. Have you tried stopping those thoughts?
I think I have done, but quite a while ago.
Okay.
So not necessarily about when I punish myself in terms of going out or something like that. I don't think I've used it really, but maybe I will try.
I think that would be a good place to use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because in a sense, part of what is only going to help you do even better in interviews is having your aliveness, having your sense of, you know, passion and kind of energy for something. From my point of view, as someone who interviews people for job roles, I want to feel that person's aliveness and their I want to feel like someone's going to come into an office and they're, you know, some people can light up a room, but even just not lighting up a room, just sort of come in and have a sense of let's go, let's have fun, let's enjoy it along the way. And it feels like that's a part of you, and it's a part of you that's been quite free before, but it's a bit more tightly held and restrained at this point. But actually it's part of the life force that makes you who you are.
Yeah.
What does it feel like as we talk about it, as we kind of recognize as a part of you that's not been given as much freedom as it perhaps deserves?
It kind of makes me think that there's probably a lot, a little bit more to work on than I perhaps thought. And obviously feelings like that are universal, everyone feels like that at some point. But I guess that doesn't mean that you shouldn't work on it and try and change it.
When we talk about that sense of there's a few more words that come to mind, spontaneity and sort of playfulness and aliveness and freedom. And when we talk about that, where in your body do those feelings come from? If they were to have a location in your body, what would it be?
Feelings of being alive and
that kind energy. Of playful, fun kind of place.
I think probably my chest, my heart.
Okay. And what would it feel like there?
Just kind of light and not necessarily heavy or kind of a bit more free.
Yeah.
I guess.
So a kind of lightness, a freedom.
Mm.
What else do you notice?
I'm sure just kind of a lot of energy
When you notice that, a bit of that feeling, how does your inner critic respond to it? There's a bit of energy, a bit of sort of bubbliness, a bit of sort of aliveness. If you let yourself feel that a little bit, what does your inner critic say in response?
I think right now it's not saying anything, but I think it would be enjoyable at the start to feel that, and then I think slowly my inner critic would kind of come in to it. And
what might it say?
Just that I should probably stop and do some work or
What would it say about what other people might think about it? Might they judge you? Like if you mm-hmm. were being a bit more spontaneous and fun yeah. and kind of letting your personality be a bit freer in mm. a sense. Is there an idea that other people might have a judgment around that?
No.
No?
Okay. Don't judge it.
Is there anything else that you think about that is in the way of that being more free?
No, I'm not really sure. No.
Could it be more free?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah.
What would happen if it was more free? Like, how would that be? How would that be expressed?
I mean, I would just have a lot, everything would be a lot less to think about.
So there'd be like a more spontaneity, like more.
Yeah, I would kind of just not really think about anything. I would just do it. And in that way, I would just kind of feel a little bit more free just by doing that, I
think. Yeah. So there's not necessarily a judgment of what others might think.
Mm.
I'm wondering, yeah, what anything else that's in the way of it? Or it might be just as you and I talking about it.
Yeah.
It might be that you can just go, actually, yeah, I'm going to let myself be a bit more myself, a bit more free, a bit more alive. Yeah. But I feel like there's, as we're talking, there is still a bit of a contraction that's there.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it is just my inner critic, just not necessarily even like, yeah, I think it is just a judgmental thing.
Can you name the judgment a bit more?
I guess just, yeah, just like, it's just more like, what are you doing? I
don't know. What are you doing?
What are you doing? Yeah, I think it's like, I can't really pinpoint exactly what it is. Like I have inner critic judgments about like my body image or something like that, or something I've said or something I will say or something like that. But I guess, yeah, it's not really specific to anything. It's just like sometimes I'll have like a really, kind of where I realize that I'm like a person. I don't know how to explain it. But, I just realize I'm a person and I'll look at someone else and think, oh, they said that weirdly. And then I'll be really conscious about how I talk or something. So I'll have like a judgment on someone else, which I don't mean to have.
Which then gets put back onto you.
Yeah. And then I'll think like, oh, like you do this or you do this and that's even more embarrassing or something like that. I'm not, yeah.
So what would happen if your inner critic says to you, like, what are you doing? And in response, you said, why do you care? Or you said to it, like, what the fuck's it got to do with you? Like, if you were to respond, right, rather than like, because what happens, it goes, what are you doing? You're like, yeah, I know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't. Like, there's a kind of diminishing or kind of collapsing that happens. And I'm wondering what would happen if your inner critic said that and you were just like, well, fuck you. Like, yeah. How dare you speak to me that way? I'm free to be me.
Yeah, I think I just have to get over that barrier of like... being like, that's so cringy.
Welcome to my cringy world.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, what is it that tells you it's cringy? It is your inner critic.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it is.
Yeah?
Mm.
So what if it said to you, oh my God, Sly, that's like so cringy. And you said to it, fuck you. I can be me.
Then I guess it would kind of go away for a bit.
And what if every time it showed up in that way, you told it to fuck off? With different variations.
Yeah.
But like you didn't, because at the moment what's happening is it comes in, it attacks you, there's a sort of collapsing that happens. And what I'm saying is each time it comes in, you're like, actually, I'm allowed to be me.
Mm.
Like I'm allowed to be a bit more playful and spontaneous. And yeah, sometimes you might say something a bit dumb or sometimes you might sort of laugh in a way that sounds, I don't know, someone like,
yeah.
But like, seriously, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, surely part of the purpose of life is to live fully as yourself. And some people are going to like it and some aren't going to like it. But in a sense, what we do is we reject ourselves before anybody else gets a chance to do so.
Yeah.
So it's like, rather than taking a bit of a risk and being more like spontaneous and more free and risking someone making an unkind comment or whatever, we don't take the risk in the first place for the fear of someone doing that. But then we've already rejected ourselves. Yeah. So it's surely better to put yourself out there and risk some rejection from other people as opposed to a guaranteed rejection from yourself.
Yeah.
What goes through your mind as I say that?
It's kind of like similar to like the anxiety thing. And I feel like I like have managed, somewhat managed that. And in the same way, you know, telling it to fuck off. It's like the same thing with inner critic, and it can. Yeah, it's something like before this session, I didn't really think there was anything like much to talk about because I was I'm feeling anxious anymore.
Which, by the way, is great because the anxiety has improved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in terms of the inner critic, it's just something that I just kind of thought, well, that's just like everyone feels like that. So, like, you just have to kind of like learn to live with it.
I think everyone has elements of it, right? We all have an inner critic. And there's definitely a spectrum of like how severe it is. And if I look at my life sort of 20, 30 years ago, I felt paralyzed by my inner critic.
Mm.
And I think about my life now, it's like, I have an inner critic, but it doesn't have that much power.
Yeah.
Like, generally speaking, I'll put myself out there and I'll say the things I want to say and I'll be spontaneous in the moment and I'll do dumb shit. And sometimes it's funny, other times it's not funny, but I don't feel crushed and I don't feel emotionally kind of attacked by it because I've trained my inner critic that ultimately I am in charge.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's always easy and it's effortless, but there is a fundamental shift in that power dynamic.
Yeah.
And that's what happened for you as you just spoke to with your anxiety.
Yeah.
Your anxiety was this big intimidating thing and now it's this smaller thing that you ultimately feel in control of. And exactly right, we want the same outcome with your inner critic.
Mm. Yeah, I think just because I'm comparing it to during the summer where my inner critic was just like horrendous.
Yes.
Probably a lot to do with my anxiety. But obviously now it's a lot less and I'm, you know, I when your anxiety goes, your inner critic kind of goes a little bit too.
Yeah, that's right. The two go a little bit hand in hand. The more anxious we get, the faster our system is happening. The more that we're almost looking for things that are wrong and things to judge ourselves with, the calmer you are, also the easier it is to see the inner critic because there's less of a noise that's happening.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that my inner critic is something that I like similar to the anxiety that I kind of can manage really. It just kind of comes and goes and I have days that I don't even think about it. And I have days where it's like my inner critic is just really, really bad. But I just kind of thought that's just, it's a little bit of a down day today.
Yeah.
Kind of like normal thing.
And what it sounds like what you're hearing now is just actually something you could change.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you feel about doing that?
A lot more positive about it because obviously now I know I can change it. So it's something that I definitely like want to work on. And then just kind of getting back to having those like more and more of those good days and being less of having less of a hold over me, I think.
How far did you get in the reset program modules? Because I remember we got up to modules 4 and 5 when we were working on the stop process.
Yeah.
Have you gone any further than that? Or?
Yeah, I did go further than that. I remember watching 9, but I...
Which is on the inner critic,
Which is on the inner critic. Yeah. Right, I watched the inner critic one. But I haven't watched that it must have been 2 months ago or a month ago.
So I think it'd be really good to revisit that.
Yeah.
Because I think the exercises in there would really help with this piece. Mm. And I feel like as the anxiety is so much calmer, it's a really good place then to go, right, well, let's also get that inner critic piece a bit calmer. So you've got, again, when the inner critic's big, we tend to feel small.
Yeah.
When we defend against the inner critic, we tend to then be able to feel bigger and take up more of our power and more of our potential.
Mm.
But it's about training your inner critic. And I think, yeah, it feels like a good next step, in a sense, for where you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's something that I really want to work on. But yeah, I'll definitely watch that video again, revisit it.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. Well done for doing the work. And, you know, I want to make sure you don't beat yourself up for the fact that you've had some days and weeks off. You've been working hard.
Yeah.
You've just been working hard on something different to your inner world because you've been able to, because your inner world's been in a better place.
Mm.
And as you get into January, I think it'd be really important to get back to that exercise routine, that meditation routine. But you've got the tools that you need to help you do that.
Yeah.
Do you have any final questions for today?
No, I don't think, just in terms of watching the videos, is it just like 9 you want me to watch? And then...
Yeah, I mean, why not do 9, 11 and 12?
Okay.
You do 10 of them.
Yeah.
It's not like 10 is like a bad module. But like, so 9 on the inner critic, 11's on the inner child, and that can sometimes be a help. That's often the part that can sabotage us. And 12's more about goal setting and focus and structure, which I think as you come into the new year would be a good focus for you as well.
Yeah.
But if you don't start those until you finish the job at the beginning of January, I think that would be totally fine.
Okay.
Because it sounds like right now you just got to like keep powering through.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but no, it's nice to have that to focus on as well. Because I think I don't want to neglect it too much. But yeah.
So. Yeah. Good to know. Good to see you.
I hope you found this week's episode of In Therapy helpful. I think what Sanaya was working on is such a common problem. The narrative and the story that our inner critics have of what we need to do, who we need to be before we can have joy, before we can give ourselves a break, before we can be happy in our lives. But the reality is that the more hard we are on ourselves, the more serious we become about things, the harder our lives feel and the more serious the struggles we face become. And bringing in a level of lightness and playfulness and letting ourselves enjoy our life along the way towards the goals we're trying to achieve is so important. I'm curious as to what your narrative is. What's the story that your inner critic has about what needs to happen for you just to be able to enjoy your life, to be able to just be here, be present in this moment? I look forward to reading your comments, and I look forward to seeing you again next week here on In Therapy.